All right, we're still talking on the subject of manifesting as sons of God, and we're in this area we call vengeance and recompense, and it's part two. Well, it's part 12, but it's, I don't know, it's division two or whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joining us with Christ. If so, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until now. Praise God. All right, so we're talking on the subject of vengeance and recompense and the day of the Lord's vengeance. Now, we've come some distance, and I'm endeavoring to try to wrap this up. So there are some other things that that I'm looking at now teaching on. But this is a very foundational teaching. I didn't realize how foundational it was until I got into it. And really, it's all about, again, restoration. It's all about restoring the years that the cankerworm has eaten. That is, going all the way back, not just restoring things in your life, but restoring things in life of humanity. What Adam lost, Jesus got it back. And now Jesus is turning it over to you and me so that we can be that vessel that God uses to bring forth manifestation of this sons of God, of the end time plan of God for his earth. Now, we represent a kingdom that did not originate from this world. We represent a kingdom that did not originate from this world. Now, because of that, as I said before, the laws and the principles and the values and the culture of this kingdom is different. And no matter who you are or where you are when you get born again, but once you get born again, you're now put in that kingdom and your life becomes new. Old things are passed away. Your sins are blotted out. Everything about you becomes new. You have a new mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You're able now and can do new things. In other words, things that you couldn't do before. Now you have a new potential because you're connected with God. And God becomes your source and your provider. So now, this new kingdom is not religion, but it is a government. And it's a government of God. Now, in this government, as we are placed in this government, part of this government are angels. That's a part of this government, of this kingdom. Part of this kingdom is the earth. And as you can see now, that Satan has intruded in on this earth because of Adam's sin and taken control of most of the things on this earth. But it still is a part of the kingdom. And part of our job is to recover what was lost. God first recovers us, then uses us to recover the earth. Now, as we do this, we are now forcibly advancing the kingdom. We are forcibly advancing the kingdom. Say this with me. I am forcibly advancing the kingdom. All right? So as we're doing that, we are taking what belongs to the kingdom by force. That's what you and I are doing. We're the violent take it by force. We're invading places of darkness and bringing forth the light. Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. Now, the kingdom of God, or the government of God, is a government that is more powerful than any other government. In fact, it rules over everything. Now, let's go and look at that, please. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And 103 and verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, as I said, that these angels are part of the kingdom. And these angels often serve as an army for the believer. So you'll know that, well, let's look at this, please. Let's look at two places. Let's look here at Matthew chapter 26 and also Hebrews chapter 1. If you will, let's go to Matthew chapter 26 first, and just, we'll find Hebrews when we finish this. Matthew chapter 26. Let me know when you get there, please. All right? Look at verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again your sword unto his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Now, he's not talking about military. He's talking about people here doing murderous things, things that are not in line with God's word. Matthew 26, 53. "Thinkest thou not, I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than," what? 12 legions of angels. Now, these are soldiers. These are warriors in the spirit, but they're part of the kingdom. And they're part of what God has provided for you so that you will never lose a battle. And if, in fact, it's not happening for you with who he's got, like Daniel, when the angel Gabriel couldn't get through, he went back and got Michael. Michael, which is the archangel of war, and cut through everything. How about the time in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? In that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at the time where the prophet of God sent his servant up early in the morning to get him some water, and he looked up and they were surrounded by the enemy. Syrians had surrounded them by night, and now the prophet the servant panicked, and he came, said to the prophet, "What are we going to do now?" He said, no, you don't understand. There be more with us than be with them. Now notice what the Bible says, that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. You see, you can if you're not speaking the right things, you can cause your angels not to work for you. So no matter what the situation looks like, you're going to have to speak the word. Say amen to this. And so now they're part of this kingdom. How about in a time when Daniel was in the lion's den? Notice what happened. When the king threw him in there, notice he left him in there all night, but God sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. I'm talking about angels now ministering. How about an angel who came to Mary and said, you know, "Hail Mary." Say "Hail Mary" three times. No, don't you do that. And he said, "Thou art highly favored," and gave her the word. Angels I'm talking about. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Now, these angels are part of your supernatural force or ministry that enable you to take it by force. They are the ones that are with you right now to fight your battles for you. And brother, they're not going to lose. I'm going to tell you that right now. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's you. So angels are sent as ministering spirits to make sure that the covenant comes to pass in your life. All right, so my point to you is that these angels are part of the kingdom government. And the church is also a part of that kingdom government, but the angels are soldiers or warriors or an army for you as part of the components of the kingdom to make sure that you reach your destiny. Angels are right there. Now, in this, one of the things I want to say today is that God is concerned about the systems of the earth, because what has happened, because the enemy had ruled this earth and set up his systems or kingdoms in the earth, now here comes the church. And what is the church? One of the church's job. One of the jobs of the church is to establish God's kingdom wherever they are sent. So wherever they're sent, they are to establish the values, the culture, the principles, and the atmosphere of the government of God, of the government of heaven. So everything that's out of line, we are supposed to bring it back in line. Say amen to that. All right, now, I'm saying that because this is a part of what we've been trained up or called for this, at this point, to do in this earth. Now, what we said here is that as Jesus came in the earth, he came now with this restoration anointing, with this end time anointing on him, to recover some things that were lost. And if you look back here at Luke's gospel and look at Luke chapter 4, please, and we'll read that. Luke chapter 4. Now understand, what Adam lost, Jesus got back. Say amen to that. And as Jesus got it back, now he's turning the rulership of the earth over, back over to us. Now, I said something to you last time, and something tells me I better say this again. Just hold on. Just be patient with me, okay? I said to you that God needs, I want to put this right. When Jesus did things in the earth, he didn't do them as God. He did them as a man, anointed of God. Got it? Now, hold your hand wherever you have your hand right now. Keep it there. On the screen, would you put up John, please, chapter 5 and verse 26 and 27. John, and look what it says. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, what I told you there is, notice he said he is the Son of Man, not the Son of God. But you know he was a Son of God because he came from God. But he didn't call himself there the Son of God. He called himself the Son of Man because he came to bring an identity back of what man was really like in the garden before the fall. See? And so he's showing also the authority that this man has in the earth, that God needed a man to execute his judgment. Lord have mercy. Now listen to what I'm saying. Adam and God were one. God gave over to Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. That means you got the authority. God now, because of Adam's authority and what he had, when he sinned, he lost it. Not only did he lose it, he lost control of what God gave him authority over. Now the devil stepped in there, and he was called by Paul the God of this world. Little G, not big G. Okay, now I'm saying little G, big G, but there's no difference in those in the language that it was written in. But now Satan, ruler over this world, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, the whole earth was under his control. Over in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says that he deceiveth the whole world. So, people, if they don't have God and the Spirit of God show them the truth, they can be deceived. Well, Pastor, what if they have 5 PhDs? Make no difference. Makes no difference. If you can get your natural mind and get and understand God with your natural mind, then you wouldn't have to be born again. See, the thing about it is, in those environments sometimes, when the intellect is highly trained, it's hard to get them people saved. Many times, because their intellect has become their God. See, they think they know as much as God knows. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, my point to you is that Adam lost it. But God's got to get in the earth, but he can't go back in except he goes back in through a man. So the first man he comes to is a man named Noah. Probably came some more before that, but Noah. So what did he do? He told Noah, he said, now, you know, make an ark here because the flood is coming and it's going to destroy the whole earth. Now, I got to save a seed because if I don't have a seed, I can't have a harvest after that. So he had to save somebody. So Noah and his family got saved. Now, once that happened, God now is looking for this vessel that he can use so that he now can get his son back in. And the vessel that he found was a man named Abraham. Got it? He got Abraham and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make a deal with you. Now, I'm putting this in my own words. I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. But I want you to let me use you to be a blessing. Abraham said, you got a deal. So now God's going back in through a man through something called a covenant. Got it? A covenant is designed to make two people one. Got it? See, when I married my wife, that was a marriage covenant. Now she goes downtown and goes into one of the stores. I shouldn't say this. Should I say this? She doesn't have to wonder if her last name is Winston. She just signed that for that dress. Now I'm just that's a real example that I'm using. Praise the Lord. But my point to you is, and I ain't mad at her. You know she's my wife. And now my point to you is that hey, what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. Amen. No. What's mine? I'm trying to get this thing right here. It's trying to come out. Rabbi, I might have to preach this in tongues. If I need it. See, the Bible even says her body is not her own. That's a word. Isn't that a word? Are you following what I'm saying? In a covenant, what belongs to God, if you need it, he's got to give it to you. That's why he doesn't tell Jesus when he's coming back. Because you got a covenant that if you want to know when he's coming back, you just go, you can get it from Jesus. So the Father keeps that to himself because you and Jesus are going to be one. Or you follow what I'm saying? Now, my point to you is, and we need to study more about that covenant. Maybe we open up some studies about that, because the covenant is a foundation for unshakable faith. Right. It is a foundation. See, Indians, when they were in this land before anybody came here, you know, that's the first thing they did. They'd cut a covenant with somebody, and they cut it, and they couldn't understand why, in this case, the white man would break the covenant. He said, man, you speak with forked tongue. What does forked tongue mean? It's a snake. A snake has a forked tongue, remember? You speak like a snake. He said, you say one thing and you go behind me and do something else. Indians weren't used to that. There is honor among thieves. They weren't thieves, but I'm saying, now, I'm only telling you that because that is a fact. That is in history. And so they're trying to figure out why. Because those people, many times, didn't know anything about a covenant like that. You go back in Africa right now, that's why these tribes somehow still hard to penetrate, because the covenant that was made. And you're coming in with a higher covenant. Now you're saying, let's cut a covenant with Jesus. Are y'all with me? All right. So where am I now? Praise God. I told you to go to somewhere before I told you to go. Luke 4. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's deal with this. So now here's Jesus. Now Jesus came to get all back that you lost. When I say you, because we were in Adam, and that old nature, it died, and now you come brand new again. And because of him, you and I live. Okay? He came after you. When I found the Lord, he wasn't lost. He came after you. You were lost as a goose in a fog. Okay, so now here is Jesus. Now he's gotten filled. He received the hope. Lord have mercy. He got anointed by God. John the Baptist saw him come and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist said, you should be baptizing me. He said, no, you baptize me so that the scripture can be fulfilled, so that I can fulfill everything that a man needs to go through. Amen. Got it? Okay. So he baptized him. He came up out of the water. Then the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, those are more than words. One of the things he did with that statement is named his seed. Got it? Now, so here Jesus, he starts his ministry. Now notice he didn't have a single time that you saw that he worked a miracle until the Spirit of God descended on him. Why? Because he was then anointed. Got it? Now, he goes up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil tempted him all. The first thing he did, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the money. And said, all this will I give you. You don't need to go to the cross. All this will I give you if you will just bow down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee behind me. You follow what I'm saying? So he tempted him. All right. So now let's pick up, because he's done with the temptation. And now he's coming into the synagogue, 30 years old, of which he has to be, to get up to read in the synagogue. So he comes now, 30 years old, and gets up, opens a book, and opens it to Isaiah, and finds a place where it is written about him. Then he begins to read. Are y'all with me so far? All right. Let's look and see what he says here. I'm trying to make this thing so plain that nobody can miss it. Are you following what I'm saying? Look what he says here in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister. All them that were in the synagogue were looking at him or fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." In other words, I'm the man. I'm the man. This day. I said this day. So now, here is Jesus, and he went on to tell him some things about the woman in Zarephath, and then, of course, about the man who got healed, and both of them were outside of the covenant of God, yet God healed them, and so forth, and the people got mad at him, and next thing they wanted to do was push him off a cliff. But the Bible says Jesus walked right through the midst of them. Why? We got angels now. We got angels now. All right. Now, are you still with me? Okay. Now, he left off at to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's go back to where he read from, which was Isaiah 61 again. Let me know when you get to Isaiah 61. Hello. All right. He read it from here, so I'm going to read it from here. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks." Verse 6, "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord." Verse 7, "For your shame you shall have double." Verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love judgment." What did I ask you? What word to use instead of judgment? Justice. "I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring," this our children now, "among the people. All that see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has" what? "Has blessed." All right? Now, Jesus said, pray this way, "Thy kingdom" what? "Come. Thy will be" what? "Done." Where? 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 As it is where? On earth as it is in heaven. So, he was having Adam in the garden to replenish the earth, to make the whole earth like Eden. Eden was a copy of heaven. Got it? So, in fact, Adam was to take heaven and spread it throughout the earth. Now, Adam blew the deal, messed up in the garden, got put out, but Jesus came, the last Adam. And he came saying the same thing. "Thy pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done" where? "On earth," come on, "as it is in heaven." In other words, you're still under the Eden mandate. You're still going to take Eden and spread it throughout the earth. Oh, you may not call it Eden, but you are going to call it heaven. It's going to be heaven on earth. Say amen to that. Lord Jesus. All right, let's just proof that now. If you will, just put something right there and look at Isaiah chapter 51, please. Isaiah chapter 51. I'm making it plain. I'm just trying to break this thing down. Look at verse 3. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. "For the Lord Lord shall comfort who? Zion. Zion symbolizing the church now. For he will comfort all her what? Waste places. And he will make her what? Wilderness like what? Eden. And keep going. Her desert like what? The garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Did you get that? All right, let's just let that go now and turn with me over to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm coming back to Isaiah 61 now. Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm telling you that part of what you've been put here on this earth to do is to make earth like heaven. And I'm saying that the kingdom of God is not only you're in it, but it's in you. And that kingdom rules over everything in this earth. In other words, if somebody's got tuberculosis, that kingdom rules over that. Every name that is named must bow to the name of Jesus, which you have the authority to use that name. And I don't care what they've got, folks. We're about to see this end time anointing to the degree that everybody that's sick in a church is going to be healed in one day, in one service, in one 5-minute period of time. Oh, that's what we see. Now, what we need is people who believe that so that they can receive that. It's all the toil is gone out of it. Well, you got to line everybody up and so forth. You ain't gonna have to line nobody up. What you're gonna have to line up is the word of God. And line upon line, precept upon precept. Look what it says here in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. See, some people argue, say, well, he's talking about rebuilding lives. Of course he's talking about rebuilding lives, but he's also talking about rebuilding everything in the life, and rebuilding their job, rebuilding their family, rebuilding their business, rebuilding their education, whatever it is that they're lacking, they're going to not lack anything because he's going to comfort all that mourn. He's going to beautify the church and make it so you have nothing broken and nothing missing. That's why he said the wealth of the sinner is what? Laid up for the just. He's not going to leave them with the wealth. If he leaves them with the wealth, the Bible says in Numbers 33, they're going to vex you with it. He told you don't leave it with them. He told one of the mandates that we got is to transfer this stuff. Folks, we got to transfer everything. The rulership of the earth is coming under the church. And the church is coming under the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is a foreign spirit that'll tell somebody that this doesn't include material things. Wrong, folks. It includes everything. Everything spiritual, physical, and financial. Praise God. Everything. Everybody's going to be healed of every disease they've ever had. But not only are you going to be healed, he's going to give you businesses. He's going to give you orphanages. He's going to give you all these things. Why? Because you are going to be displaying the kingdom every place you go. And everybody that's hurting, you're going to be able to stretch your hand out to them and pull them into the ark of safety. They're going to see that you're called by the name of the Lord. That's a shame somebody trying to make it so that the money doesn't come in with that. Without the financial part of it, then redemption is not complete. That's what he's telling you. Don't leave the money. Lord, have mercy. You go and look in there and see. The only reason somebody will say that is because they ain't been out here long enough. You get out here long enough and go to the country that I've been going to, and you see what you need. You give me $40 billion right now, and I can fix Haiti. Give it to me. I can get God's plan and fix it. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, they need houses down there. They need water down there. They need food down there. They need to learn how to plant and how to harvest. That's what they need. I'm telling you. So I'm just saying, anybody that said that doesn't include money is off. And I hate to hear somebody come and say, well, that's just souls we're talking about. So I won souls. But as soon as you bring them in, they need something. They need their rent paid. They need, come on. And then somebody, strange that somebody says that. That's a religious spirit. That's a spirit that says, I'm taking a poverty vow. Poverty vow is not in this Bible. It is not in this Bible. Poverty is a curse, and a curse is designed to kill you. God didn't plan for you to barely get along. This is your inheritance that he's got here. All you got to do, you know, for me to gauge how much inheritance I got, all I do is go to the Old Testament. I look at the Old Testament. Here's David. He goes out to fight the battles, and then he stores up all of this, and then his son Solomon comes. He says, Solomon, I'm going to turn all this over to you because for the building of the temple. Solomon said, well, I appreciate that, and he takes the inheritance. Am I right about it? The Bible says in Matthew 12 that a greater than Solomon is here. In other words, if he would bless Solomon with $100 billion in the Old Testament, then what will he do for somebody who is a son? You always got somebody trying to fight the money issue. And yet the church has been looked at as the most begging people and won't pay bills, won't so forth. Folks, we got to get out of that. That is not the church. The church is the most powerful, the wealthiest institution. You see, heaven, Lord have mercy. Can I preach this? Abraham, Melchizedek's son, and he said, blessed be Abram, the possessor of heaven and earth. Folks, you not only possess earth, but you have an inheritance in the spiritual world that you by faith can transfer it here. In this earth, Lord Jesus, I'm preaching too hard. You see in this earth is a limited supply, but in heaven, I'm talking about just heaven, is not some way away. Heaven is a membrane away. Heaven is right over in another dimension. Heaven is right there. It's, see, we keep thinking a place because we're thinking carnal. It's not a place, it's a dimension. Guess what? You have something there. You might have something here, but this doesn't compare to what you got right there. And it's yours. Folks, you are seated there now. Not later. Now. If I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm going to tell you. You can handle it if you want to. You are right now more in heaven than you are on this earth. Now you can take that and do what you want with it. Lord have mercy. Verse 34. And the desolate land shall be tilled wherein it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate, it's become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities, these are cities now, these are cities here in this earth, are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know. The heathen gonna know something because they're gonna see something. That I, the Lord, build ruined places. I plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. Folks, the day we opened up this mall and got these stores here, the day we did that, 400 jobs appeared. 400 jobs down here. That's helping somebody. We took money to give folks jobs that they could see how good God is. The only reason people are hard on this money thing is because somehow they figure it's all for them. That is a perverted thought. Solomon got the money for the building of the temple. The money has a mission. Now, I'm going to get off of that. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 61. 61. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It just kind of gets me a little bit. People get so hung up on this money thing. The reason why they do it is because they think it's all for them. You selfish. That's your problem. And that's why you struggle so much in everything. There's no struggle in my life. I don't have to struggle for nothing. All right. Can I continue? Now, I know some folk didn't like that. Now, wait a minute now. Here's what I want you to do. Just make note of it so you can decide next Sunday what you're going to do during this hour. Just make note of it. Well, if you start talking about everybody suffering and everybody getting, you know, this and that, then that's, everybody agree with that. But if you start talking about this money thing, because the devil has used money to prop up his whole kingdom. And if you come after that money, you have just come after his foundation. You have just come after his foundation, and whoever he can use to discourage you or make you stop talking about it, he'll try to do that. Folks, I mentioned money and watch people just walk out. Whole families walk out. Let them keep walking. Because let me tell you something, I'm not getting off the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. As long as we're here, we're going to hear it. All right, let me just finish this. You know I love you, right?
Yes.
All right. Amen. Okay.
Tell them the truth.
Okay. Amen. All right. Look what it says. Boy, y'all got me sweating up here. Let me take my coat off. Now, this doesn't mean I'm going to be here long. It just means that I'm going to just, it don't mean that. All right. Let me say a couple of things, okay? All right. Number two. Verse 2, he says this, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, this vengeance, all right, because that's where we got to start from. Now, Jesus did not preach that part, and he didn't preach that part because that part was not a part of his ministry. Now, why do I say that? All right, now listen to what I'm about to say now. When Jesus left the earth to go back to the Father, he said, I'm going to send you another who? Comforter. Who is the who? Was the Holy Ghost, okay? All right. Now, once the Holy Ghost came, the ministry of Christ has been completely handed over to him. That ministry. Jesus left, Holy Ghost came. Now, he's administrating. Now, in this, the number one job of the Holy Ghost is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So now, he's out to use us to execute vengeance where necessary so that that kingdom can come and the will of God can be done. Are you with me? Now, I had you read verse 8, for I, the Lord, love what? Judgment. What's another name for it, word for it? Justice. And I hate what? Robbery. All right? Now, This justice, I said, is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. So when the kingdom manifests, justice, honor, truth, love, faith, wisdom, all these things are part of the kingdom manifestation. But judgment or justice is one of the foundations of this kingdom manifestation. Matter of fact, I wrote a scripture down here, and I don't see it right now. I got it here somewhere. Praise God. So, y'all say it with me. So now, what is he doing with this? He is making it so that whatever is standing in between you and fulfilling the call that he has on your life is going to be removed. And it is, I would go to say, in these last days, almost impossible to fulfill your destiny in the kingdom without vengeance clearing the way. Now, stay with me. Once you understand vengeance and recompense, it creates a significant change in your behavior and your attitude, your mind. Now, realize we've got to go into every place, and every place we go, Satan doesn't want you in. Because your job is to advance and what? Hold it. He said, occupy till I come. That means advance, hold. Advance, hold. That's what the military does when it goes in. It advances to a new position and holds it. The occupying troops come in to hold that. Now, we got to hold every place because the devil has been ruling education, advance, and hold. He's been ruling the family, advance, and hold. He's been ruling business, advance, and hold. Every place we're going to take over and bring it under kingdom jurisdiction. Got it? It's like every place you go, you set up an embassy. And an embassy means that the flag is flown of my country. And it means anything within the gates of that embassy is now considered heaven's property. Now, you're going to need vengeance in this thing and recompense to finish the job that he's called us to do. And because vengeance hasn't been preached, we have still been fighting, lose a few, win a few. What's happening to the saints? He died, she got sick, so forth and so on. But if you understand vengeance, I got news for you. When you understand vengeance, come on out here, paper. Your jive self. And when you understand vengeance, you become impervious. Now, that is a big word for some of y'all. I had to look it up. Come on, stay with me. I had to look it up. It means incapable of being injured or impaired. Now, where is that? Come on back to Joel, please. Joel, you know Joel, right? Joel chapter, glory to God, chapter 2, all right? Joel chapter 2, come on, Joel. Well, no, I ain't got time to do this. Joel chapter 2, and as I look at it, it says here, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble,
For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever like the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, this is talking about the church. So has nothing been like you, or there's not going to be anything like you after you leave here. Say amen to this. Verse 7, we're talking about this army now that's advancing and holding. And they shall run like who? Mighty men. You remember the mighty men of David? Do you remember the mighty men of David? The mighty men of David, one man could slay 800 men. One mighty man of David was trained to slay 800 enemies. That's an anointing, folks. Samson was anointed, and Samson took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men. That's an anointing. What he's saying here is that you're going to have supernatural strength. Let's keep going here. And they shall climb the wall like who? Men of war. And they shall march everyone in his what? Ways. And they shall what? Not break rank. Neither shall one thrust another. You ain't going to be talking about each other, running down each other and everything. And when you on the front line and you getting shot at, you ain't got time to be talking about somebody else and talking about what you did. Folks, you are trying to get the job done. They're shooting at you. You dodging bullets, man. You got same into this. And so I'm saying when somebody gets hurt or something, you're not going to run them down and he ain't nothing. You know, she shouldn't have bought that new car. I mean, whatever it is, you would pray for them. You would bring them in, bring them before the Lord, pray for them, pray for their families, pray that they get out of the situation that they're in. Say amen to that. Instead of running them down, beating them up, talking about them, sending witchcraft out after them. Now, let's keep going. I'm talking about this. This is you. Verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another, and they will walk everyone in this path. And when they fall on a sword, come on the sword, keep going, they shall not be wounded. Now, what did I just say? You are impervious. In other words, you are incapable of being injured. Now, wait a minute, or impaired. I'm not talking about you in your own natural strength. I'm talking about when you step out in the anointing of these last days, and you step out in this anointing, because you might have to face some stuff out here that normal people don't face. Stay with me. Praise God. So what am I saying to you? If this anointing is on you, which it is of these last days, you cannot be molested. You cannot be assaulted. You cannot be harassed. You cannot be tormented. Now, understanding of this anointing of vengeance now significantly changes your attitude. Because if you don't believe this, it won't work for you, praise God. Now, what am I saying this? I'm saying this. Now, God is going to protect you. You have a heritage of protection on you right now. And because you have that heritage of protection, now Psalm 91 kicks in your life. And Psalm 91 says this. It says that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, verse 7, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold to see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you. 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 Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. In other words, you will not get sick anymore. You will not, come on now. For he, verse 11, shall give his angels charge over you. That means that you are impervious to accidents. No more accidents. No more.
accident. So you don't have to be worried about whether you're going to be in an accident. Get on the airplane, go to sleep, get yourself some rest, because it's coming in to the destination that you have signed up for. You get what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost, number one job is to execute vengeance on your behalf. And nothing shall escape him. Anybody plan and put a bomb on an airport or something like that, God forbid they ever do. But if they do, it won't go off. It won't go off. Why? The Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what happened on one of them flights that they were talking about. That thing did not go off. I'm here to tell you, when people see you getting on the airplane, you will be a tree of righteousness. They will say, I'm getting on the airplane. He's getting on. I'm getting on the one she's getting on. Put me on that bus right there. Let me go with her on this ship. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now get it down in your spirit. This must be preached. Anything that's trying to make you uncomfortable is going to be dealt with. And anything, Lord have mercy, y'all follow what I'm saying. This message is so powerful. I just left a country, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because this is going out all over. But he said, Pastor Winston, I heard your message on vengeance and recompense, and my wife and I were arrested. I said, were you? Yes. I said, for what? Spanking our child. I said, wait a minute. He said, no, just a little spank. They said, they have made a law in this country. You cannot spank a child. That is an unjust law. Why? Because it violates the scriptures. Let me help you folks. That wave is coming this way. Somewhere, I know you've been praising the Lord, but somewhere we're going to have to stand up and be counted. And wait a minute. They interrogated them and brought the kids in, little kids, and interrogated the kids. Can you imagine subjecting little kids to that? And I'm just saying, don't blame the folk, because they're walking in darkness. Watch this. They think they're doing right.
Right.
That's what the devil does. He's deceived the whole what? The whole world. The whole world. So now you see some laws coming out of Washington. They're not in line with scripture. But what has the church been? Quiet. Why? They haven't heard the message on vengeance and recompense. Haven't heard. Once you hear it, it will significantly change your attitude and your behavior. Now let's just see a couple of places. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Y'all mind if we talk about this? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Bible says in Psalm 82, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? He said, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They all walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Have I not said, you are God? Yes. And every one of you are children of the Most High. Where did I tell you to turn?
Daniel 6.
Oh, you're not here just by coincidence. You've been called here because this is a prophetic gathering.
Yes, sir.
You've been chosen for this time to hear this word. All right, before we read Daniel 6, let's just go back real quick to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, yeah, been some injustice now. There's been some in this country here. Some of them folks been put in prison have been put in there unjustly. There was some stuff going down. Verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall what? He shall do what? Come on, he shall do what? He shall judge his people. So who does vengeance belong to?
God.
Belong to God. Wait a minute. Does it belong to you?
No.
Who does it belong to?
God.
Now, why does it belong to God? Let's go one place before you go to Daniel. Let's go to Psalm 75. Psalm 75. Aren't you glad you're hearing this?
Yes.
You have just become immune to accidents. No more accidents in your life. I said no more accidents in your life. And this word is covering every form of attack and accident. Psalm 75, have you got it? Look at verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the who? Who is God? Who is God? He's the judge. He putteth down one, come on, and sits up another. Didn't it say God is the judge? Come on over to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 33, please. Very quickly. Isaiah chapter 33, if you can't find it, look on the board. Praise God. We are invading now. Look at Isaiah chapter 33. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. Keep going. He will save us. Wait a minute. The Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our king. But wait a minute. That sounds like the three branches of government of Washington, D.C. The judge is the judicial branch of government. Come on now. Come on, you constitutional folks. The lawgiver is the legislative branch of government, and the king is the executive branch of government. Well, didn't you know this is where they got the structure for Washington, D.C. of the United States of America's government from? Right here. But listen, God doesn't need a bunch of people. God doesn't need, come on, some judges over here. God doesn't need somebody in the White House. God is the judge. God is a lawgiver. God is a king. And whatever he says is it. So whenever you got a situation and that situation looks like they're judging against you, that's because the systems of this world are still under the control of the evil one. However, what you got to do is say, can y'all give me a few minutes? I got to go to the judge. I got to go to the lawgiver. I got to go to the executive branch of government of this entire universe, because he's going to override what you just said. And I'm telling you, when they arrested those people, they said they decreed some things, and the next thing you know, they let them go. And I said, well, praise the Lord. But what help if you hear who you are in God? And also in Amos, Lord have mercy. Can I say this? I said, know some things have happened, but a man named Martin Luther King, he preached a sermon, and many times his text was taken from Amos chapter 5 and put it up on the board, and verse 24, he said, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. He said, we're not going to stop until justice is done. It's going to run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. What did he know? He knew he could not retaliate, so he preached nonviolence. He is saying, vengeance is not ours, folks. Our job is to believe in the vengeance that comes from God. So I'm saying, are you with me here? Daniel, and I'm done. Now, I'm not blaming people because they don't know what they're doing. I said they don't know what they're doing. Why? They're walking in darkness. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying God is our judge. He's the one that's going to execute judgment on our behalf. Say amen to that. And over here, Daniel, it says this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together unto the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents and the king of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and captains, and they have consulted together to establish a royal statute or law and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king, thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign in writing that it be not what? Changed. Notice what they did. They made a law against Daniel in prayer. Does it sound familiar? Taking prayer out of schools? Sounds familiar. Where were the Christians? Look what Daniel did. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. He opened his windows in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees how many times a day? Three times a day. And did what? Prayed and what? Gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Didn't even change nothing. Why? Because that law was made against the laws of God. It was unjust. It was unjust. And what did he do? He went and prayed. What did they do? Put him in jail. Not only did they put him in jail, they put him in the lion's den. Today we call that the electric chair. But in this case, the electric wouldn't go off. I'm just saying, in this case, look what happened. They threw him in there. And look what happened here. Then, verse 20, and when he came to the den, the king, by the way, couldn't sleep that night. I said, when they mess with you, they can't sleep that night. He cried with a lamentable voice, saying unto Daniel, the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God. I like that. Is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, come on. What? Long what? Live the king. My friends, when you know that they can't hurt you, when you know what they stole from you, they can't keep. You can say, long live the king. See, no anger, no trying to retaliate, no trying to, I'm going to get you. You watch it. You wait till after 3 o'clock. I'm going to get you. None of that. You don't have to be afraid of threats. You don't have to be afraid of nothing. And you say, well, what happened to so-and-so? Or what happened to so-and-so? They are not your example. Your example is in that book right there. Say amen to that. See, somebody always coming up with something. Well, David fornicated. All of us. No, well, Joseph didn't. Find somebody in there that go do what you say. Are you following what I'm saying? Stop trying to get out of it and find a way that it won't work. Find a way in. So what am I saying? It is right there. Long live the king. What do you, let me put it in my words. I ain't mad at you.
That's right.
I ain't mad at you. Not a bit. Not a bit. Because I know whatever you stole from me,
right,
he's going to return to me. Watch this. And you can't hurt me. You can't stop me from being promoted. Keep going. Come on now. Because I'm saying you're coming to a time of darkness. They don't know what they're doing, so you cannot get mad and angry at them. That's not the idea. The idea is to see that you have now been anointed
And that this anointing on you is one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost is to execute vengeance upon any of the enemies of God's people coming against you to try to keep you from where you're going. Now, I'm gonna just show you this one more time, and then we out. Just turn to Acts chapter 13, please, and we're out. Are you with me here?
Yes.
You don't need to get mad, don't need to hate nobody. I don't care who it is. Well, them people, they always, hey, stop all of that. As a believer, you don't need to let that come out of your mouth. What you need to let come out of your mouth is the God that I serve, he will deliver me. Say amen to that. That the God that I serve, he's going to recompense me 7 times for whatever you're trying to take from me, because he's kept records of everything anyway, so I'm getting mine back. I command angels to go get my sacks of money, get my houses, get my property, get my schools, get my businesses. You go get them now and come in here to me. Praise God. I'm telling you, if you didn't come in here to get tough, you better not come in next time, because we toughen up in here. Ain't no punk preacher and ain't no mealy mouth. Yeah, you know, the Lord, hey, he make a way. You know, hey, he done made a way, praise God. Now it's time for you to walk that thing out. Amen to that. We need some soldiers here. We need some people who are ready to go. And I believe you're the right bunch. I thought the 9 o'clock was the right bunch, but I believe this is the right bunch. No, you all the right bunch. Praise God. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying they don't know what they're doing. They're walking on people in the earth, in the world, they're walking in darkness. They have no idea. They have no idea that it's wrong, folks. I remember when I was unsaved, I was doing some unsaved stuff. But you know what? I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was bad. What's wrong with this? Why are they? I don't know. I don't understand these people. And now I'm saying, my Lord, my Lord. I was blind, but now I see. Now I see. So please, don't get angry with anybody. Your job is to love. Okay? All right, let me just close by saying this. So notice what's happening here. This is Elymas. Elymas is a sorcerer. And he's a prophet, of kind of false prophet and a Jew. And he's blocking the door to the governor hearing the word of God. Now, nobody can stop you now from reaching your destinies. Nobody can stop you getting your way. Anybody getting your way going to be dealt with. Okay? Because justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. And notice what he said in verse 8. But Elymas, a sorcerer, his name was interpreted, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. He opposed the kingdom, seeking to turn away the deputy or the governor from the faith. Then Saul, also called Paul, filled with the who? Holy Ghost. Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is where? Upon you, and you shall be what? Blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately he what? That fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, because being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying when you're moving forward and you come up against something, one of the things that the devil tries to do is try to get you to get back into your own strength. Now, God is your strength. So what happened? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And I shared before when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, when I was purchasing, we were purchasing this mall. And all the lawyers were there and everything. We were there in the lawyer's office. We stayed there from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6:30 at night. And I'm telling you, that was a long day, but God had me under the Holy Ghost, so I was just in comfort.
And I was so drunk in the spirit. Now, I'm talking about the spirit. I ain't talking about Jack Daniels and corn liquor. I'm talking about I was so drunk in the spirit. I'm sitting up there at the table. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And the guy asked me a question, and I heard him, but you get so drunk, you can't compute it. You want to understand it, but you're trying to get it because you're up there, and this question is down there. And so I had turned to my lawyer. I said, well, what is the answer to that? He said, just tell him yes. Yes. I mean, that's the way that went. Close that thing, and after that, the particular attorney had to show me to my car. I couldn't find it. I was just too drunk. Now, I drove okay, but I couldn't hardly find that car. But anyway, my point to you is, Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. So when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then you're not saying it. He's saying it through you. And whatever God says through you, God will make it come to pass. You don't have to have anything to do. That's all we got. Give the Lord a praise for it. Devil is a liar and all his three wives. Okay, now, God is going to use you.
That's right. That's right.
You wouldn't have been in here to hear this message if he wasn't going to use you. Now, don't start fearing, because fear will block the way to you hearing the voice of God. Just whenever he tells you to stand up, stand up.
That's right.
I'm not talking about in here. I'm talking about when it's... Stand up for righteousness,
yes,
and stand up for justice.
Yes.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
Did y'all get something out of this?
Yes.
I did. All right, before anybody else moves, praise God. I know it's 4th of July and you got to get out on and out. But some people have come here today looking for a brand new start. And I know that. When that night I went and got a brand new start, I wasn't intending to do that. I was working for IBM at that time in computers. And things were miserable in my life. I mean, I didn't want to tell anybody about it, but they were. I was going from relationship to relationship, going from trying to take trips and all kinds, just trying to leave that. But I owed everybody everything. People calling me on the phone. I hated to answer the phone. Something would come in my body. I was trying to fight that off. And the doctor said, well, you just might have to just hang on to that. It might be on your body for a while. So, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. My sales were going down. I wasn't doing good. But I was still trying to look good. I was what they call a great pretender. Not a good one, a great one. I, in every case, let everybody know, hey, great man, yeah, and so forth. But I'd go home at night, and I wouldn't even turn the TV off to go to sleep. I'd leave it on, because if I turned it off, it'd get too quiet, and I'd begin to think. And I was miserable. So I left something on all the time, pretending that everything was good. But one night I got tired of it. And I called on the Lord. Now, I had been in church when I was a kid growing up in Tuskegee, Alabama, but church was never really in me. I was religious, but I had no relationship. And so what happened was then, that night, just called on him. I said, Lord, would you please help me? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on him. One time, and it's just shortly thereafter, a lady came by my place of work. I don't even know where she is today. She said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? Well, I was single. She looked good. And I said, you see what I'm saying? I mean, that's my mindset. So, boom. Next thing I know, way up on the north side of Chicago, pull up into a schoolyard, go in the back door of an auditorium in the school, people holding their hands up praising God. My brother turns around and sees me. He knows her, apparently. He sees me and said, came and hugged me and said, "Jesus loves you, brother."